The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
We're going to start reading again from that 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, if you look at the beginning of that chapter and all the chapters of the epistles written by Paul, you will see his introduction, introducing himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Apostle of Jesus Christ. In all the books he wrote, in 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The rest of the epistle, you're going to see that old introduction there, talking about his calling in the dimension of the fivefold ministry. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The word apostle means sent one, the one that Jesus Christ sent with a special message. So Paul was a special messenger. Praise God. Amen. Apostle is a special messenger. And every apostle is sent with a specific message by Jesus. Because Jesus himself is the message. He is the message. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God who has sundry times and in diverse manner spoke in time past. He has spoken in time past by the prophets. He had chosen this last days to speak. He has spoken to us by his Son. So Jesus Christ is God's message. Praise God. When you say Jesus is the gift of God, is the message of God. Jesus is the message of God. God, one major dimension of God's person, that God is a speaking God. God created all things by His word. He framed things created by His word. God could have decided to wave His hand and things would be created. Are we in the house, please? Amen. God could have waved His hand. God could have winked His eyes and things would be created. The Bible says God created all things by His word. He framed. So God Himself is a speaking God, and it's not out of place when the one of the person of divinity is the word. In the beginning was the word. Now in the book of Genesis, we didn't see Him as the word. We saw Him as God. In the book of Genesis 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is the beginning, God. So all we know is Elohim. the Creator God. Amen. Are we in the house, please? We don't know him. He just called God. God. How he looks like, we don't know. His manner, we don't know. All we know is that he created. And what he made, were made. It took thousands of years for us to discover that the one who actually created is called the Word. So, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So it tells you that if the Word is God, then God is the Word. The Word is God. So the God is the Word. So the genetic nature, the one who carries, because when it was time for God to birth, it is the Word that stepped out beyond creation. When God wanted to birth himself, it was the Word he sent to birth. And you know that when you're going to birth, you're going to pass your gene into your offspring. Are we in the house together? Your gardener can take care of the house for you. Your gardener can do many things. Your chief servant, like Eliezer, was to Abraham. Eliezer was chief servant of Abraham. And Abraham was going to say to God, will this Eliezer be my heir? Eliezer is my servant. Will he be my heir? He didn't come from my loin. He didn't come from my loin. I know that he spoke for a servant who has served faithfully to take inheritance. But are you saying you are going to use that principle for me? It doesn't matter if he takes inheritance. It doesn't have the nature to bear the inheritance. It means he can inherit, but he cannot progeny it. You understand what I'm saying? It means the race stopped from it. He stopped at his post. He doesn't have the power to procreate. It's only those who came from his loins. And so Abraham wants to continue because God has said, through you, the old families of the earth will be blessed. And so if the old families of the earth, not just in the time of Abraham, to many generations, it means that Abraham must be able to progeny himself beyond the face of the next generation. So he was asking God, are you saying Eliezer will be this? And God said, no, you're going to have a son. It will come from you. And because it's from your loins, he has the right to project after him. Are we in the house this? To make the promise sure. So God could have gotten servants to do that, but he didn't choose that. He chose to have. So when it was God to procreate, God brought forth the Word, who has always been in the invisible. In other way, nobody, no prophet knew the Word. They only received the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord came to them. They never knew the person of the Word. Because they didn't need the person of the Word in their ministry. Their job was to declare what God was speaking. I went to the house this. But when it was time for God to procreate, he stepped in to bring the second dimension. That's why I said in the book of Psalm 119, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies what? Thy footstool. I said, the Lord will send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Root thou in the midst of thy enemies. And he said, further, thy people shall be willing to be of thy power in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. So he's saying, this job of Rothstein be sent out will be done from those who are born from his womb. They will be children by nature. So when it was time for that to be done, the Word of God became manifest. Because it was time for procreating the genealogy of God. So that's why he said in the beginning. So he has been in the beginning, but he was not manifest. It was not needed. He was walking behind the scene. So all you will hear in the Old Testament is Jehovah. Jehovah, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord. That's all they knew. Normally, all of us are said that we are New Testament believers. There's an Allen church that will not believe that it's a New Testament believer church, because it's a church that relates according to God as Father, which Jesus brought into manifestation. You will pray, the first thing they will hear about that is, you will teach us to pray. So you will pray in this manner: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That was strange to Jews. You don't relate with God as Father. No, God was not their Father. So you will pray in this manner: Our Father. Because it is a time for God to generate his children. It's time for God's generation. That's why in the book of Isaiah 53, it says, who shall declare his generation? It has been a heart cry of heaven. Who shall declare his generation? So there's the generation of God. It's different from the days of the prophet. Are we in the house, please? Because God had that generation in mind before creation began. That's why we are reading in this place. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1. Praise God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. God has. So Paul was not referring to the calling as apostleship. He put there holy calling, because it's different from the general calling. Before the New Testament days, callings were reserved majorly for priests. It is priests that called. Kings were elected. So you see, election and calling. Make that election and calling. In the New Testament, it was divided. The major people that were consecrated in the Old Testament were priests and kings. Are we in the house together, please? Because these are people that God put in custody of his people. They are in charge of raising people to God. You are either a king or you are a priest. You are either a king, you are a priest. Now, prophets came in the midst of that order, but majorly two offices that owed the nation Israel is kings and priests. That's why when God said to Moses, said, you are a kingdom of priests unto me. You are a kingdom of priests. So priesthood itself is the anchor place for the kingdom to express. Are we in the house, this? Actually, in God's mind, you don't separate between the kings and priests. So we are kings and priests. Okay, we are kingdom of priests. It was a kingdom of priests. God made Israel a kingdom of priests. So it is in their calling that their election find expression. Let me say that again. It's in their calling that their election find expression. You don't separate it. It was out of place when Israel asked for a king. God did not intend that they would separate the place of the priest from the king. So when they rejected Samuel, it was God they rejected. I went to the house this. Because what God gave them is a kingdom of priests. He's supposed to raise a nation of priests to God. It was the old Israel that was a nation of priests. Are we in the house, please? The old nation Israel, every child of Israel is a priest. But you know, because they were not ready for that process of priesthood, God took a family, Levi. He took Levi out from the whole of the nation Israel. And in Levi is separated for the job of the Tumim and the Urim. It belongs to them. It's their own lot. Their lot of inheritance. Not in the land of Israel, when the land was shared, no place was shared for Levi. I went to the house this. Why? Because the Lord is their inheritance. They don't have a land portion of inheritance. The Lord, actually speaking, Israel was supposed to have the Lord as their inheritance. Israel ought not to have the land. of inheritance. The Lord is their portion. Is the portion of their inheritance. Say the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So when God was speaking about the land of promise, He was not only speaking about Canaan. Canaan was a visible land to typify a spiritual experience. That's why they entered the land, they didn't get the promise. Because the promise is not in the land. I went in the house. The promise is in God. So God is supposed to be their portion and their inheritance. Hallelujah. So from Levi, for the sake of the of priesthood, God took Aaron and his son. And he consecrated Aaron, his son, to represent the all of Israel. So it's not for Aaron, it's for Israel. It's for Israel. He was separated. It was Moses that God called. And God said, Moses, separate to me Aaron and his son for this job. So that Israel will have portion in God. How will they have this? So when you say to Israel, what they know as calling is priesthood, originally is priesthood. But when they desire to express themselves like the nation of the earth here, and they desire a king, God had to separate that kingship from priesthood. And also the first man who stepped into it, stepped in as a man. Can you see? He misbehaved. Because you can't wear that crown. Read the story of Israel. All their kings were always misbehaving. Because a man can't wear the crown of king of Israel. Because the Lord is their king. Man can't be their king. So it's not easy to be a king of Israel and not misbehave. Because that crown is not made for a man. The crown is made for a priest. It is priests that will have the stamina to wear the crown. Amen. So God gave them the one Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, who has the stature of a man. When you want to look at a man and look at what it takes to govern, Saul had it. Amen. In stature, in warfare, in physical, whatever, he had it. But God said, that's not my king. Amen. Within first 2-3 tests, he failed it. And God said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart. It's not just a man like other men who are after governing people. You know, Saul is a governor. I went in the house this. And when you are a governor, you are people centered. A king, what determines your domain of rulership is your people. The larger your people are, the larger the sphere of your domain. Is that not true? Historically, the king of Ondo land had so much influence that as far as 40 kilometers from here, he was able to establish his authority. So for a long time, you hear, if you go on this slide, you hear Bagbe Ondo, Ilula Ondo, Igoshi Ondo, you will see all of them, Ondo, Ondo, Ontore, to Kostein. Kostein is a rubber estate. It's as far as 40 kilometers from here. They were all the village Ondo, and all their kings paid tribute to the king here. Because it was the king here and the people here who moved there to settle. And when they were going there, they took the scepter of the king here to the place. So when you say it's a paramount ruler, we'll tell you it's not something given to him by government. No. By conquest and rulership of his father is paramount. I win the house together, please. There are kings who are political paramounts, who is just by relationship with head of state that made them paramount. A few of them are not like that. It's domain. They have large domain. And that's why for a long time it's not easy for Ondo. Ondo was a big local government that could not be broken down. Because they want to remain Ondo. So they have their farms and settlement there. They have their house in Ondo here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm saying that kings and the authorities express in the space they conquer and the number of people that is under their domain. Amen. But when God found David, David was not people centered, he was God centered. I found David, a son of Jesse, a man after my heart. So what is running David is not people, it's God. Hallelujah. So there are a few kings like that, but generally it was the priestly house that holds knowledge in Israel. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. In the midst of that, God began to speak to people or speak to men through prophets. And I think you know that the prophets are not, first of all, Isaiah, Jeremiah. That was not the first set of prophets. It was when the office of prophet became speaking to the house of Israel, that the operation of prophetic moved in that dimension. Before then, all the elders, all the patriarchs were all prophets. I went in the house place. Even Adam was a prophet. All of these people, but their prophecy was not in the man of Jeremiah. You won't hear thus says the Lord. Abraham was a prophet. I went in the house place. But you can't hear one thus says the Lord from Abraham. How were they prophets? By reason of their fellowship or intermingling with the Lord, they came into a place by growth in which they were able to represent the voice of God in that generation. I went in the house place. By their person, they express or manifest God's word or God's voice. Not in today's church. If you are not bringing the word of the Lord after Jeremiah, you are not a prophet. So when I see a man, say, that man is a prophet. Say, You know, something has blurred our vision about who prophets are. Amen. Yes, it's not. It's declension. It's degradation that lowered. Because even when those prophets began to prophesy, Israel did not hear them. To tell you how much men has fallen. They couldn't hear them. When God was going to bring another kind of prophet that will restore Israel back, or that will point Israel back to Messiah, he raised John. John was not in the order of Jeremiah. I went in the house place. He was not in the order of Elijah. And it was the Elijah that is to come. But John did not look like Elijah. Right. So what made John Elias? What made him Elias? When you read John and read Elias, what look alike among them? But Bible says Elias must come and must prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. But they look alike. Do you feel so? Do you feel they look alike? Physically they don't look alike. Operational system, they don't look alike. But in spirit, in what they did for the Lord, or did in the name of the Lord, they were able to turn heart. What other prophet couldn't do, Elijah did. He turned the heart of man. I went in the house place. And John, in the midst of that declaration, John was able to turn heart. I went in the house together, please. What made him higher than Elias is because beyond turning heart, he sought the Lord and he can discern the Lord. Because if Elijah saw Jesus Christ, they won't discern him. He can't see God. He doesn't look, he's not in the figure of what looks like the Son of God. Praise God. I just want to lay foundations tonight, today, this afternoon. For the thing that will become is that you can have places to appropriate them. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So you discover that gifts and calling is what God gives. Said it, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So what God gives out, God endowed men with anointing. They are not going to lift. I went in the house place. Amen. But when God gifts and calling, he doesn't take it back. Because it's God's, it's nature. You can be a king and not reign. So that his reigning does not make him a king. I went in the house place. If he's of the seed of the king, he's a king. He's called a prince. It can be declared a time of his reign. I went in the house together, please. So all the children of David, not all of them reigned. A lot of them are kings. That's why you read the book of Psalm, he will write to the princes. He will write to the kings. Both princes and kings, they have the same crop. Are we in the house together, please? As long as they are from the loin of the king. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the New Testament, when New Testament came, God had to hew out from resurrection the gift of Christ. Someone does not confuse all the church in calling of God. It's the gifts of Christ. The gifts of Christ were hewn from resurrection when Jesus was ascending, when he's coming out. He came out and gave enabling power, gifts to men, or gave men as gifts to assist him to do the job of the calling. You find that in Ephesians 4. Let's read that place in Ephesians 4. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He led captive. Who were in captivity? Who were in captivity? Men were in captivity. Instead of releasing men to go their way, you know, he came and liberated the dead. He raised the dead. I went to the hospice. He raised men from the grave. Instead of raising them from the grave and letting them go, he took them captive. He took them to himself. He took some men. He raised children from dead. I went to the hospice. Ephesians says that one. The one he said, who has quickened us and who has raised us up together. We all raised up. But he didn't take all that he raised. He, by his decision and choice, he took some of them and prevented them from living their life. He made them his own captive. And he took them and quickly worked on them. After the order of resurrection, and gave them as gifts. What you find in the fivefold gift ministry, the gifts of apostles, apostleship, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, teachers, were the first seeds of Jesus Christ as resurrection and held them captive. While every one of the children he raised were singing, rejoicing in the glory of the new life, he took some quickly among them. He didn't even allow them to finish that rejoicing. Amen. Let's look at the man called Paul. When Paul was saved, Paul did not spend a day enjoying the new birth experience. In fact, as he was born again, God was speaking to Ananias. When he was afraid, God said, no mind. I have chosen him. I have chosen him vessel to me. This one is my own. He will bear my testimony. He will witness me. Don't be afraid. They won't do you any harm. He will come to you. When he comes to you, pray for him. Ananias prayed for him. Lay hands on him. His case fell. I went in the house this. He received the Holy Ghost. What Ananias and the rest did not experience all through the day of their believing, Paul came into a rapid process because he was held captive. Held captive. He went through suffering that others should go through in 30 years. 2 years, Paul has gone through sufferings. Amen. For what purpose? So that he can stand in the office of apostleship that we do a major work. Because there's something God demanded of the Father when He raised Jesus. He didn't just raise Jesus so that we can enjoy our life. No. He had something in mind before the world began. There's something that runs through the divine heart. There's a thought. There's a way. There's a manner. There's a spirit. There is a picture that runs their heart that they couldn't share with creation. Because what is created cannot align with their person. Are we in the house together, please? So, He led captive to captive. He gave gifts to men. Those gifts are special grace. When you got born again, you receive the gift of righteousness. You receive the gift of grace to be born again. It is not your faith that got you born again. In fact, you couldn't be born again by your faith. And when the house, please, He gave you faith. He gave me faith to be born again. He now gave these people special grace. That special grace is not just endowment like that. It's grace that comes with walking. God also walk in them. When He said walk in them, He made Himself revealed in them. Paul said, when it pleased God, who has called me from my mother's womb, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, He pleased Him to reveal His Son, or to make His Son known in me. That revelation of His Son is called gift. Why? It's not His personal knowledge. I went in the house, please. It's an endowment that came also with experience. Amen. Praise God. For example, you can be endowed with gift of prophet of the old manner from the womb. He told Jeremiah, before you were from your mother's womb, I've known thee. And I've ordained thee a prophet. They don't ordain New Testament prophets from the womb. It's after. Amen. Are we together, please? There are people around us who are not. Oh, you know yourself. You know this guy is so gifted. Yet he's not a Christian. And you're wondering, why not give your life to Christ? The level of their endowment, discernment, are we in the house, please? Visions, dreams, revelations. Yet he's not born again. Those ones are ordinations from the womb. So they are calling, though they are not holy calling. And when such people come to Jesus and about to get born again, does it not make them prophets of the New Testament? They are children that have natural endowment, which if they go through tutelage, are we in the house, please? And Jesus' choice for the higher whatever rest upon them, they can go through process. I went in the house, please. Amen. What we have found in church today that has been a problem is that we have a church who majorly are busy with earthly profiting. So whatever can bring gain to us, we quickly promote it. I went in the house, please. You find out in church, those who are there are people that are prominent in natural, maybe if he's a professor or a major man in business. Once he's born again, 6 months he's a deacon, 6 months he's a pastor, because you will use their natural influence. I went in the house, please, to manage church. But it's not about keeping church together. It's about bringing the church into something in the heart of God. There's something God asked when He battered the church. There's something He wants to see in the church. There's a picture or a vision that God had in heart while He brought Jesus to manifestation. Amen. Praise God. So you discover that the fivefold ministry, you discover that they didn't quickly appear in the New Testament. They didn't quickly appear. Before Jesus left, He has ordained some people. 12 of them has been with Him. And by reason of what they have gone through, they have come to a measure of revelation of Jesus as the Son of God. And so, by reason of that, they have gone in and out with him. They were called apostles. They were chosen apostles. They were tried at his life. They were tried at his death. I went to the house this. They were tried for what they believed. They stayed on, and by reason of that, they enjoyed so variants of the outpour of the Spirit that came from Jesus. Many times, just breathe on them, talk them, breathe on them. Many times, they came through things that could have stopped them from making progress. You know what I'm saying? At a point, you understood when he told them, "I said, you guys eat my flesh and drink my blood. You have no life in you." And there were still many at that point, and they were offended. Drink blood, eat flesh. We didn't sign for this. We thought we were just going to follow this man and we enjoy blessing of a prophet. What about this eating flesh, drinking blood? And they were offended and they moved away. And when he turned back, he saw the 12 still remaining. He said, "What are you guys still doing here?" They said, "Where do we go? You don't just have the Bible. You don't just have the scripture. You don't just bring words to us. You have, they defined it. You have the words of eternal life." So it means at that time, this guy has discovered the words of life. Amen. You understand the time we're talking about? We have sects on the earth here who also believe in the scripture of the prophet. I think you know that. We have the scribes, we have the Sadducees, they have their emphases, but all their emphases were taken from scriptures. They are all Jews. So, what made Jesus different is not that he's referring to the scripture of the prophets, but what he's delivering from the scripture of the prophet is not what is present in the scripture of the prophets. He's using that scripture of the prophet to point them to what has been before the word began. Because something has been before the word began. Remember, he said in John 5, "Say, you search through the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me." It means the scriptures has been there to guide men to life. So when they found Jesus, Jesus was hearing scriptures, unveiling to them life. I will be asked this. He made a difference between scriptures and eternal life. They are not the same. So just there are some set who gather around scriptures, but they can't lead to life. That's why Paul said to Timothy, he said, "I know that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From thy youth, you have known the Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation." You can have Scriptures and not be wise to salvation. So it's not enough to say we are Bible church. You can have a Bible church and not have salvation. No, at the point, it was emphasis of believers. I'm born again. At another point in church history, emphasis is Bible. So you will not see the name of the church is also Bible church. It's also Bible church. Because at those points, there are a lot of theologies and church practices that are not in Bible. Are we in the house, please? So if your own is, you belong on a time in the surgeon of the church when the emphasis is trying to establish things in the Bible. Now you can have things in the Bible that is not according to salvation. That is why you find out that in most churches it is easy to read from Old Testament than to send the epistles. Because the Old Testament looks more realistic. I win the hostage. Because salvation is not in the Old Testament, it's in the New. But you have materials in the Old. You know what I'm talking about now? I say, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come." I say, "Guys, arise." I say, "Arise. It is time for you to arise and shine. This is your time. This is your hour. You can't miss this time." You are announcing something you don't know anything about. If they show you that light and that salvation, you will not know it. So, for Timothy, he has trace of inheritance from the mother and grandmother. They are scriptural people. And because Timothy met Paul, he now knew how to get salvation from the scriptures. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So you see that this fivefold ministries are specially called for the major job that Jesus had in mind, which is in the mind of the Father, which was in their mind before the world began. Now look at it. Before these gifts appeared, you know, after the apostles appeared, it took time to begin to find teachers and prophets. I mean, the church, they have to move from Jerusalem. They move from Jerusalem in Acts 13. They have to move to Antioch. And in Antioch, it was a place God created for teaching. They couldn't teach much in Jerusalem because the apostles were there who had the apostles' doctrine. Are we in the house, please? And you can't break beyond the apostles' doctrine. So they were limited by that doctrine. And doctrine is about the physical life of Jesus, majorly on the earth, until he ascended. So they knew eternal life based on what Jesus has manifested when he was on earth. But eternal life is more than what Jesus manifested on the earth. Actually, the case Jesus is the limitation to eternal life. I say that again. I said the case Jesus, that case, that body of Jesus, is a limitation to the reality of eternal life. That's why it took the Father to unveil to Peter. So if it is embodied fully in Jesus on the earth, he wouldn't need a special revelation. I went in the house this. You discover that eternal life was revealed much more through the Gospel of John, which is the last gospel. Go and read Matthew. Read Luke. Read Mark. You won't see much. You will just see the teachings of Jesus, not showing fully as life. It was John, and John did not write that gospel until he had seen Jesus in glory. So he wasn't writing that book of John based on Jesus that was in Jerusalem. Are we in the house, please? Oh my God. He has been raised up to see the Son of God in his full glory. That Son of God is bigger than Jesus of Nazareth. So the body Jesus is a limitation to eternal life. It will take sometimes, amen. Can you see how what God did was that God confused Israel? Acts 10:38. How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. God anointed him. He's not yet the anointing. Christ is the one who is the anointing. You don't anoint Christ, he is the anointed. But for the sake of the earthly expression of fulfilling the law, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. God was not in him. God was with him. But the job will not be done by God with him, will be done by God in him. How that God was in Christ. How that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing to unto us their trespasses, but he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ. That God in Christ is God in Christ, the Son that was resurrected. That is the one that God endured fully. That's it. Didn't take him as because his Son, why was on head? He took him as because his Son at the resurrection. Today have I begotten thee. The man on Israel Street, God conferred sonship on him in Jordan. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's not my begotten Son. It's my Son. It's not my begotten Son. It's my Son like many other sons. It's Adam is the Son of God. Are you not aware? Go and read the lineage of Jesus Christ. According to the book of Luke, you see Adam, the Son of God. Adam couldn't save us because that Adam is not begotten. He's a son of God's likeness. He's not a son of God's image. I say it again, he's a son of God's likeness. He's not God's image. So he can't begot image again. are we in the house place? But what God said to start is, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Thank you for that. Which was the son of Enos? Let's read it together. Which was the son of Seth? Which was the son of Adam? Which is what? The son. Not a son. The son of God. So you understand the thing with the conversation. It's that in the realm of calling, the five gifts are separated calling. Today, we can say they are pastors, they are teachers, but actually, when you look at this stature of calling in that order, many of us who are pastors today are not actually, they are coordinators or bishops. I will tell you. Because this, the fivefold ministry, they are the first appearance of Christ. Not Christ as mayor, Christ as stature, Christ as fullness. What did I say? Christ as mayor, Christ as stature, Christ as fullness. What did I say again? Let's say it again, please. God, Christ as mayor, Christ as stature, Christ as fullness. That man, Christ, is the fullness of God's stature, or is the fullness of deity. Is the full, is the Hebrew call it express image, the brightness of his glory, and the express image is the exactness. There's no demeaning, there's no reduction, it's exact. That is the begotten Son of God, is the exact of God. That appearance is full. Are we in the house, please? So when you hear the brightness of glory and the express image, that word is not grammar use. It's telling you it's exact. So when somebody says Jesus is not Son of God, you know, to start with, he's not a believer. Have you? Now, if someone says Jesus is Son of God, he's a believer, but we don't even know what he believes in. Amen. Now, he didn't allow them to start preaching him until he resurrected. So Peter said, this Jesus whom thou hast crucified is what God has, he has been made both Lord and Christ. Is both Lord and Christ. Is both is Messiah. Is the one that who has the power to bring salvation in the highest. That's why it's called Hosanna in the highest. Salvation in the highest. Are we in the house, please? But there's the salvation which Paul described as salvation with eternal glory. Which is that salvation that cannot be lost. I went in the house this, which is preservation. You read that place, preserve spirit, soul, and body. Preservation is salvation. It's salvation with eternal glory. I went in the house this. And that's what God expects. And that's who Christ is, as revealed as life and resurrection. Resurrection and life. Resurrection and life is the completeness of God's nature. I went in the house this. God cannot die because God is resurrection. God does not resurrect, it's a resurrection. That's why he can kill and make alive. He has the power of death and hell. Are we in the house, please? It's his nature. So, praise God. Let me not go that way. So, the fivefold ministry, they are the first appearance of the mayor. Let's read up Ephesians 4. You'll see that in mayor today. Let's go back to verse 7. But unto every one of us, now that us there is not all believers, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's not gift of the Spirit. Amen. I went to ask this. To every one of us, it's talking about his apostolic team. To every one of us is given grace according. according to the measure. So Christ was measured to them, or they were developed into a measure. They must come into a measure before apostleship can be proclaimed. I went in the house, please. Because they are to give Christ. What they will give to the church is Christ. How will get there? What they should measure. So they must have acquired measure. That is measure. You remember that when Jesus was talking about which parable that he was talking about, the harvest. So it's in 30s, 60s, and 100s. Why not 60 and 100? What about 30? 30 is a mayor. In the spirit, 30 is a mayor. It's a mayor. I want to have this. It's a mayor of a man. 30 is a mayor of a man. I went to the house this. 30, 60 is a mayor. It's a mayor. It's a mayor in the spirit. I went to the house this. From a child to a young man to a father. You have to mayor like that. Children, young men, fathers. I write unto you, fathers. I write unto you, young men. I write unto you, children. I went to the house this. So in the school of eternal life, not in the gift of the Spirit. When this came to be, gift of the Spirit has been apportioned completely to the church. And when they have this, you see the picture of that in Corinthians. Hallelujah. Gift of the Spirit. What are the gift of the Spirit? You know them. Gift of utterance. Give them faith, healings, miracles. No, utterance, gift of tongue, interpretation of tongue, prophecy, gift of power, healings, faith, miracles. Okay, and now the gift of revelation, discerning of spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Now, in this nine, there are also variations in the nine. They beat them depending on what is necessary at the point. I went to the house, please. And it's given commonly to all. They don't apprehend to give it. They look at the need of the church to give it. I went to the house, please. So somebody can be born again in 1 week and is operating the gift of the Spirit. I went to the house, please. Are they necessary? Yeah. For the initial awareness. Because if you start saying these things to somebody who has not found his feet to be convinced that Jesus is Lord. And sometimes I say Jesus is Lord, in some manifestation that makes you say, it's not because you have seen anything. That manifestation, God is here. Agbara, amen. Praise God. Because you were coming from a place where you were dead to God, dead. They have to welcome you back to God consciousness. In a city, for example, when they have been given to yoga. Yoga is the way of life. It won't be possible to teach them this one. I went to the house, please. They must see certain manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. That would, wow. So some things can work without practice. Because in yoga, you have to exercise. Concentrate your mind. It's a lot of training. I went to the house, please. And they are trying to pick some thoughts that is not available with them. So a man who has a gift of word of knowledge, he has not even prayed. He picks it and says, that's what you are thinking. How do you get it? Because to them, have you gone through exercise before? Have you practiced yoga before? Are we in the house, please? Amen. So for the first consciousness, as it were, the gift of the Spirit makes lot of sense to those who are outside. I went in the house together. You get it now? To make your heart to believe the gospel. And anybody can do that. Anybody in church can do that and should do that. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody is sick, for example, and he needs to be prayed for. You don't need to call pastor. Pray for that person yourself. That's when you are making the job easier. If you go and call your pastor, you are making the world difficult. That is not his job. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, they will say your pastor has power. Now he will be happy he has power. He will leave the job he has to do. You get what I'm saying? But if he's doing, it's happening through you, it saves his distractions. He can concentrate on a major job. Pray for the sick is not the job of the faithful ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. When we come and say, so I feel pray for the person. I have to. I feel pray for the person. I feel call one person to join you and pray. Don't just rush to me, please. That's why after service today, we don't queue. I don't have time to queue and start saying you one by one. I don't have time for that. That's not my job. For it's distraction. You know what I'm saying? There's absolute power corrupt absolutely. What I say? In a place where every reference is to pastor, there's no way that the absolute power will not corrupt absolutely. Man is just man. So it becomes a God because everything refers to him. Amen. Praise God. So this signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Now you speak in tongues now, but you don't want to cast out devils. How do you separate it? By the way you are walking, look and see if they should cast out them from you first. You understand what I'm saying? So that itself is not a ministry. What I say? It's not a ministry. You can have the ministry of giving. Amen. Sorry if it's conflicting what you are thinking. It's scriptures, and we can always refer. Here, we can stay on scriptures from morning till evening. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. So, if you are not casting devils, don't speak in tongues anymore, okay? If they ask who said it, say pastor said it, according to the scriptures. Because our job is not, when I say devils, devils says it's demons. Demons. You don't need a special anointing to cast out demons. I'm telling you, speaking. It's authority in God, in His name. It's authority in His name, in my name. That name is the free pass for everybody. Even those who don't even believe Jesus, they believe in that name. They use the name to their advantage. They don't. Are you not aware that many people are in church who are not born again? Yet, if you say the name of Jesus, they will say the name of Jesus. They know what it will do for them. They have learned to trade by that name. But they don't know that commitment towards the name. What I say? They trade by the name, but they don't have commitment towards the name. They will tell you, that name they walk over. It's like another book. They think they walk over. If you don't believe in the name, no, it's like your photo. Most certain people in that religion, they use the name of Jesus. Go and check them. Chris Lamhab. They use Abbas. They use certain things from Quran. They had Jesus to hit. They know that Jesus thing they walk. They will read Psalm. They will read Psalm. They will read Psalm in Jesus' name. And you are here, you are not using the name. Amen. You can't stay in some demon infested areas if you don't use those basic ones. I'm telling you. Don't be too spiritual. I'm not using it. I beg you. Don't be too spiritual. I'm not saying you should be demon conscious. And be looking for demons everywhere. Where are demons in this town? Tell me, where are the demons there? No. When you can feel the activity around you, take care of them. Amen. It's terrible now. Because he just said, you don't leave this one and no, leave it undone. You do this one and do that one in an appropriate manner. That's what makes the gospel. Tracing. Now, what will not make Paul glory in his calling in the gift of Christ is because he came into that gift, that measure, by revelation. So one of the marks is that he has seen Christ. To see Christ does not mean that he saw a figure of a ghost called Christ. No. It's to have seen Christ from his feet to his head. He knows the measures of Christ. So he knows what is lying ahead to race into. I went in the house, please. You will see that Paul's writing are not just lopsided, they are quantified, specific writings, telling you technical terms, telling you accurate dimensions. I went in the house, please. Nobody can communicate those things if it's not revealed to you. Not just by letter, but revealed in him. So, they have a place they are running to. They are not running to heaven. What did I say? They are not running to heaven. There's a job to be done on the earth. That when they see me, they won't see me with any of my righteousness. When they see me, nobody will ever know that I'm a Jew. Nobody will ever know that I've been a lawyer. Nobody will ever know I've been a Pharisee. Nobody will ever know that I was a Benjamite. It's not easy to rip a man of those things. It's not easy to rip a man. But what they did for him in raising him is to rip him. And he's asking that they will rip him the more. Amen. Okay, so let me go this way. With grace for it to be simple. That's just what I... So if he's talking about a stature of perfection, which is, perfection can be maturity, it can also be completeness. The two are attainable in Christ. It means that they want us to be mature, to come to maturity in terms of being able, being stable, and not be tossed to and fro from by the wind of doctrine. By the slate of men. And see, man has slate, cunning, craftiness, messages, thoughts that are not according to Christ, but are powerful. Are powerful. They can move any geo. I gave an example here some days ago. And the person you pray in the name of Jesus, amen, and you believe in Christ, done. Is that not true? Today, what do? In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Ghost, fire, fire. Fire in Jesus' name. Now, it looks, amen. At the time, we know Jesus' name just does it. But next time, if fire is not there, it's not done very well. The time, most of them fire three times. Fire, fire, fire. It's still, see, when it's not seven times, it is not the hot enough. Fire, 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 fire in Jesus' name. Amen. So when your children are born into it, they just born into knowing that the way prayer answers is by fire, 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 fire. They don't even know what began it. It's a wind that blows by your head. Demons have, they can destabilize you. They want to make you accept that they are real. They want to tell you we are real and we are not a joke. And they will use everything on earth to do that. So you start turning scriptures, to use it to win. I didn't say when you hear anybody say fire is strong. I'm only telling you what wind can do, okay? You can establish teaching doctrines. Cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Where are they deceiving you from? They want to deceive you from the cause of this calling. They don't want you to pursue the calling. They don't want anyone on earth to pursue the calling. Be a church planter, be a church pastor, be everything, but don't pursue this calling, no. Don't. You must not, oh. So, you will see where we read in 1 Timothy. Said, he has called us by an holy calling. That word holy there means separate. It's not a sphere he has used before. For example, when we talk about establishing scriptures, he said, he talked about the prophets. He called them holy prophets. It's to tell you that there are many prophets that prophesy in as Jewish prophets. Number one, if you are not a Jewish man, you can't be a prophet in the old order. Are we right? So when you see a prophet in Arabia, it's a lie. No prophet. No, it's Jewish nation that God gives the power and legacy right to raise prophets. You can have seers. Even Moses said, I'm a prophet. Does he believe in Christ? He said, I don't believe in Christ. He's not a Jewish man. He's not a Jewish man. Then where tribe? Which tribe? That's right. No, not tribe, ask right. No nation has right on the earth here to raise prophets. So, Jewish people are the ones who have right. Now, among the Jewish people, there are prophets that are called holy prophets. Only men of God speak. They're called holy men of God. Now, what made them holy is not the pious look. It's that they prophesy concerning the Messiah. Their prophecy. When you say Isaiah, Jeremiah, you will see Christ, the hope of Christ, the hope of the gospel. What God will do in the last days concerning people on earth here, account to his son. And when the house says, that made them holy prophets. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, what made this calling holy is because it separated unto his son. It's concerning his son. His son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ. So it tells me that that calling pertains to everyone who is in Christ. It's a calling for where Mama was Sunday today, and it's good for us to resolve it that this is concerning those children who are born in Christ Jesus. Amen. If any man be in Christ, men in Christ, those who are in Christ Jesus, who are chosen, those who are chosen by him, they are chosen to be blameless. They are chosen to come into the realm of holiness. That's what Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read Ephesians 1, please, quickly. Ephesians 1. Blessed be God, verse 3. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Heavenly in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Where? When he chose us in him before the world began, he chose us that we should be holy and without blame. This calling is calling to holiness. It's calling to blamelessness. It's calling to holiness. It's calling to come into, no, we are in Christ. Are we in the house of this? We need to come into love. You know, God is love. We are in Christ. We are to come into place before, blame before, without blame before him, in love. So it is the realm of love where you have blamelessness. That's the realm of perfection. So it's only, it's also called, Peter wrote in a place in Hebrew, it's also heavenly. He said, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling. It tells you that it's not something that is from the earth. It's not an earthly calling, it's an heavenly calling. It's heavenly calling and it's heavenward calling. Listen to me. It's heavenly calling. It means that the calling is not from the earth. I went to the house, please. Now, when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, he called him from the earth. Lazarus, come forth. It was earth. That's what Jesus called him. It was earthly calling. He called him from death to natural life. I went to the house, please. But when they called us, the call came from heaven. as God was saying, thou art my son, so also he called everyone in him. I went to have this. To come to the realm of life, to live dead into realm of the living. Realm of the living is not just a realm you come into because you believe Jesus. I went to have this. Holy brethren, partake of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle, the one who sent, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. It means that he came from heaven. It also is heavenward. It means that your appearance will not be assessed by the earth. It's heaven that will assess your appearance. So it is heavenly called and heavenly graded. So you can call yourself anything on the earth here. I went to have this. But that the one who called their son, like they called Israel from Egypt, is a summon. I would like to get a place. And since God called them from Egypt, they never had it easy to stay in Egypt anymore. Because the calling was a summon. Come out of Egypt. Let my firstborn come out of Egypt. That call was like a hook. The same way, when this heavenly calling comes to us, it does not make us to have alliance to stay in the flesh, or to glory in the flesh, or to seek to be commended in the flesh. Paul said, we seek men's commendation. Do we see that men should praise us? It means that men can commend you. Even as a Christian, they can say, that man is a great man. Now, it does not mean everyone is commending that man. So it's an heavenly calling. And Jesus is the apostle of that calling. He's the one sent to get men into the calling. Praise God. Hallelujah. The far we have gone, is it clear? Is he asking some questions in your heart? Has it? Okay, because we need to understand. It's good that we understand. Very, very essential that we understand. So I said that it is calling, heavenly calling, and it's heavenward calling. Or it's the calling Godward. It's a Godward calling. It's God is there. He summoned you to come. It's not going to heaven. It's going to God. Any believer can be in heaven. You can be in heaven and not have answered the call. It's also upward calling. God is up. God is in heaven. And so, God is calling you to come up. Come up. Come up. Ascend up. That's your place is heaven. Your place is God. He said that in John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, the place, there's a place in the heavenly called the place of I am. I am is in heaven. But heaven is not I am. Let me say it again. Should I say it again? I am is in heaven. Heaven is created. I am is not created. But I am is using heaven for now. But it humbles himself to dwell in heaven. Heaven cannot be his habitation. But what he created, it will be demeaning for creator to stay in the creature. I will house this. Because before he created the heaven and the earth, he was dwelling in himself. That's before the world began, before creation began. Now he chose to bring creature into that place that was before the world began, before he created. So he came down to heaven to make that transaction possible. So I am is higher than the heavens. So Christ is higher than heaven. It's made better. It's made higher than the heaven. Its nature and texture is higher than heaven. So when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that place is not a land location. It's a status. It's a nature. It's a position.
For example, if you are head of state, as a rock is where you are shaped from, but you are not as a rock. When you live as a rock, can come to another and declare what it says come to pass. It doesn't need as a rock to function, is it not? Are we in the house place? So here is a place. As a rock is another place. So I got to prepare a place for you. In a place, I will prepare a place for you that and receive you unto myself. So himself is the place. So I went in the house place. Because before he left the earth here, the Bible says Jesus Christ went to heaven, went to God. Let's read that thing. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, that live bodily, having loved his own, which he were in the world. Okay, thank you. He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. Jesus knowing that. Are you there? That the Father has given all things into his hand. And that he was come. He was come from God and went. That grammar is not. It can only be in King James Version. Jesus knew that the Father has given all things to his hand and that he was come. When did he come? So actually, he descended from heaven. His coming, the natural, was descension. He humbled himself and descended to put on humanity. And all through his life, his journey was going back to where he came from. Where did he come from? From God. God is God. The Word is God. Do you get it? Am I confusing you? He was come from God and went to God. So while Jesus was on earth here, what actually he did was he was going back to God. And by the time he was speaking here, he has gone back to God. He was on earth, but actually he has returned back to God. God just needed to confirm it by resurrection. Because true resurrection is where he would take his son. What are you supposed to journey on the two? I am the way, the truth, to end the life. And to go back to God. So when we see the song, we are going to God, though. It's not just a slogan. That is declaring to you the calling of God. That you were summoned. They summoned you from the grave. I think you know you were dead in sin and trespasses. I think you know that. When you were raising children, you were dead. You were a dead man raising children. Ephesians established that you were dead. You see, sometimes people think that when you get born again, God has just improved my life. He didn't come to improve your life. That life that you call your life itself is a dead life. That's why all our glory was in our belly. You are too quick and you were dead. You must accept, you must know that reality that you were dead to God. You were living your life, you didn't need God. So the summon, which is makes it heavenly calling, actually is God's calling. It's the calling of God. What made it heaven is that God is in heaven. So it is a call by God to come to God. Because heaven is the place, I've told us, and God is the place. If you don't discern the place of God, you can go to heaven and not get God. There are creatures in heaven who are not born again. And they don't need to be born again. By reason of their creature, of their creation, they were created with a tester to live in heaven. I went in the house, please. They just go in and come back. They don't need born again. They just go in and come back. Their tester is heaven. It's heaven. But the place in heaven, which is God, because God is higher than heaven, he can manage to stay in heaven. I went in the house this. But it's not yet a place for him to have his full expression. That's why he summoned his children that he gave back to on earth here to come to God. That coming to God is called reconciliation. What do you call it, please? Come on, say it again.
Now, it's not just to stop fighting with God. The part of the considering has to do with two people are fighting. Let them be friends. It's not just like that. For example, Abraham was called a friend of God. Is that not true? Eh? Abraham was called a friend of God. People like John were the friends of the bride. So these are people you're going to meet in heaven. They are friends. For reconciliation here means to be one, to be completely aligned with, to take up a nature. Another way to say is that to become begotten of. So somebody is born of God, overcome it. That is a nature. If he's born of God, he overcome it. If he's not born of God, he can be defeated. I went to the house this. But if he's born, he's born. For example, if somebody says, "Is your child?" It's your child. Is that not true? Titus chapter 2. Let me read from verse 10, please. 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And it could have said, the doctrine of Christ. It could have said, adorn the doctrine of Christ. Now it's referring to Christ as the express image of God, as somebody who has inherited God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. I think you know that. But here, God, our Savior here, is not referring to the Father. It's referring to Jesus, who has become one with God. There's only one Savior, and he's the Lord, our Savior. Amen? It's called Jehovah, his salvation. The doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. You will see there the language of persistent pursuit. Does it look like that? Looking. It means guessing, pursuing, keep at, striving at, is all embedded in that word, looking for that blessed hope. Because this calling of God is hope to us. We're summoned into that hope. And the glorious appearing of the great, you can see the way it's referring to him here now. It's not more referring to Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It's referring to God. The appearing, it means that, it didn't say the appearance. If it's appearance, then it's a sudden emergence. I won't have this. But this is, as you're looking for the blessed hope, which is our calling. It's called the hope of our calling. The hope of God. The hope of resurrection. Go and check it out. All that the fathers were looking for in the Old Testament was the hope. That was why Paul was preaching resurrection of the dead to the king, see Agrippa. And was telling him, do you think it impossible for God to raise the dead? Now, raising the dead is not just raising a body from the grave. Raising the dead is raising you who are dead in sin to God, who quickeneth all things, or the quickening spirit, or the quickening stature, or the quickening nature. God is quickening. The word of God is quickening. The essence of the divine persons are quickening. I will house this. God quickeneth because he's quickening. The word quicken because it's quickening. The word of God is quick and powerful.
The spirit is quickening spirit. The nature of this person is quickening. So they are spirit of life and resurrection. So why they preach that God raised Jesus from the dead? That one, everyone can believe. Is that not true? Amen. But what is locked up in that is that God raised him from being a man to God. That is the content of the hope, which you cannot start preaching until a man can believe that God can raise the dead. I went to the house, please. You must have faith first to believe that God raised him from the dead. That Jesus Christ died. When he died, he was buried. When he was buried, he went to hell, the realm of the dead. And from that realm, God raised him to the highest of the heaven, because he has been made better than the heavens. So he has to be raised and be made higher than the heavens. That's the reality in the message of resurrection. But in New Birth, what was preached? Jesus Christ died and was raised to life again. Is that not? But that is taught or preached to you with the hope that the real reality of resurrection will be preached, which is not dead body being raised. I won't ask this. But dead soul being raised, and the dead soul being raised, putting on a new fashion of physical life, which can be among men, can be in heaven, does not make a difference. Are we in the house together, please? So our hope is not that we die, we go to heaven. No! So it is glorious appearing, not appearance. So it means that as you look for the blessed hope, and you are pressing in that look, God looking for will take message, will take words, will take ministers who have been raised from the dead. Are we in the house, please? Who have been held captive from the dead. As they bring that knowledge to us, that hope to us, and the hope comes alive in us. That's why Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians, and he prayed that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You need eyes to, so you need eyes of understanding. So there must be people who will enlighten you to see the hope, so that you can be looking for the blessed hope. As you are looking for the blessed hope, what is happening? You are also coming to the glorious appearing. The more you look, the more you see. The more you look, the more you see. And the more you come into. I went to the house together, please. What is the hope of his calling? And what the riches of the hope? Because the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the saints, is the riches of the hope. But what God will inherit in the saints is the hope. So the eyes of understanding must be enlightened. And saints, church, must come to the point when they know that there's need for them to see this hope. Some things you can't let them go. Some things hope of heaven cannot take from you. Because when you're looking for heaven, what are you seeing? What is in heaven? When you say holiness, describe holiness in heaven. They all wear white. They all wear hat. No, that is what we emphasize on the earth here. Let's be holy. Heaven is holy. Tell me how holy heaven is. No, tell me. They wear better in heaven. They wear shirt in heaven. Tell me their holy dress. Tell me their holy language. Are we in the house, please? So the church has replaced pursuit with false holiness. And when you get that holiness, you tell yourself, I'm heaven bound. Why, if they check you, you are full of your righteousness. You are full of the filthy rag. So the hope must be changed from heaven to God. Sorry if it conflicts, because some of us, our church vision is anchored on these things. It's anchored. But go and check it. Go and check every place in scripture. You will see that they have the hope. It's a person. The hope is not just a place. It's a person. If you say a place, the place is a person. Do you know that heavens will pass away? Do you know that?
this heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. So if heaven is your hope, it's passing away, what is going to happen to you? But there's a house in heaven that when it steps out of heaven, heaven fades away. What is keeping heaven immune is the presence of the higher than the heavens. When you bring a block that is bigger than the hotness of a place, it arrests decay. What do you do when there's no light and you go and get a block in your freezer? The freezer, if the block is bigger than the temperature of the place, it arrests it. But once the block is removed or finish the freezing, what happens? Decay starts. In fact, it starts faster. So tell you that all the while, what is there is dead. The food you have kept in the fridge for 1 month preserved. Light will go off in 2 hours, it's smelling. And if you make a fresh food now and put somewhere there, for 7 hours it's not smelling. So why it is there, it's dying. The angels are fading away, they are passing away. Are we in the house, please? It can take a long time. They are passing away. Why? They are not in God. They are outside God. So, the job at this time is what we are having. It has to come up to God. If it will come down from God, it must go up to God first. I just saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Out of. It's not bringing heaven down. It's coming out of heaven. So don't say, heaven rain down. When we say heaven rain down, make sure you are focused on God though. But there's no good in heaven outside God. Heaven rain down. Make sure you are fixing your gaze on God. Hallelujah. Please go back home and search the scriptures very well. You will see that once this takes you over, a new passion. We ask for revival. Nothing will revive us except the hope. Nothing will revive us. We can pray 50 years for the next revival in church. Nothing will happen. Understand? Have you not shouted in church? Oh, you guys, you are sinning. Sin is bad. You go to hell. In fact, heaven, hell is waiting. In fact, I'm weeping as I'm weeping. As men change. No, I'm asking you. Things are going worse and worse. Not because people are not shouting. It's because the power that can change us is not being held. Something can change us that if we can look for it, look and gaze upon it. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he said that. So when we get the right focus, some things will make no sense. Say, Lord, don't let me see shame. Shame will make no sense. Why? You see something brighter than shame. Our prayer points will change. The church order will change. And the things we'll be struggling with will follow by itself. By itself. There are many people today who are children of God. When I met him last year, somebody was talking about people in Nigeria. You see, people, everybody in Nigeria is money conscious. I said, it's not everybody. Some people, by reason of mercy, have overgrown passion for honesty wealth. Are we in the house, please? That does not mean that they have really, really changed. That you don't really grab for money does not mean, are we in the house, please? But when, if you see a government today who is not stealing, he's a child of God. It doesn't mean certain power can make you overgrow those things. Are we in the house, please? But what will change our fashion? Change our passion. Change our pursuit. Change our countenance. That will change the way we do things. Must become because something has intermeddled with our inner nature. Our drive and our pursuit has changed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He has put that on our pursuit. You must have to drive. Pursue. Paul said, one thing I do, I press for getting those things which are behind. Looking to those things which I have before, I press towards the mark. Go and check out the meaning of those language. Press is agonize. It's beating against prayer towards the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. At the end of the day, when we attain that, what happens to that? We become reconciler. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their sin. So the utmost assignment is what? Reconciliation. You can't reconcile by yabbing people. You can yab people. Let me tell you one thing. The fact that you can yab people and be frank. Some people are frank talkers. Being frank does not make you a reconciler. The power of Roy, you are Benny. The fact that your heart is being, you understand what I'm saying? They have the other in the New Testament. To Jeremiah, I said, we know that God sent you, but we won't do it. I mean, the first one said, we know that God sent you, and the word of God is in your mouth is truth, but we won't do it. What's left? So it means that even if he wants to preach, he can't reconcile the people. He can't. A bridge has been made. But there's one mediator between man and God. The man, Christ Jesus. Can you bless him this afternoon? I appreciate him. Give thanks to him this evening. Thank him. Mercy. Appreciate him. Because of the Lord coming to us to redefine this to us. Lord, we bless you this afternoon. We appreciate you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for knowledge coming to us. Thank you for light coming to us. Thank you for redivination. Redivination of our life is. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory and praise to God. Glory and praise to God. Rigadabosh te poli ba rabalas te porta sida. Brenamos te pona sida bali. Lembrada balishke. Lembrada balishke. Lembrada basta pobo soto lila kapoda bashida. Please come in with your spirit. Realities are in your spirit. It's there. And from the inside, we can bring them forth gradually. Yes, they are inside of us. Just come in with your spirit. We have not spoken to our heads today. We have spoken to our hearts. It's our heart. It's our heart. Just commune from the inside. Let your spirit and your heart intermeddle together. Interact together. Let them commune together. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for this hope. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we thank you. I want us to pray and pray and interact. I want us to just pray in the spirit. Please pray in the spirit. Lord, this is the unveiling of your words. We have not opened to any other book than the scriptures. The scripture is the scripture. Is the scripture. The pathway of life. The boundaries of life has been determined in the scriptures. We can't go outside it. We can't go outside it. We stay in there. Oh God, we receive mercy this afternoon. We receive grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Receive grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Receive grace. 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 That is the word of this hope. The word of this hope will be made known to us. The word of this hope. Just pray, let the word of the hope be made known unto me. Let the word of the hope be made known unto me. Let the word of this hope be made known unto me. Let the word of this hope be made known unto me. Let the word of this hope be made known unto me. This hope, the hope of God, the hope of the glory of God, the hope of the gospel, the hope of eternal life. The hope of resurrection, the hope of life, the hope of glory, the hope of glory, the hope of glory, the hope of glory, the hope of glory. When if Paul pray for us, we need to pray for ourselves. Paul prays, I cease not to pray. I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. But the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, we grant you the spirit of wisdom. The wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And you may know that what is the hope of His calling. The first point of enlightenment in divine illumination, in the school of divine illumination. The first point of call, the first point of experience is the hope. Is the hope of His calling. Is the hope of His calling. It must be settled in our heart. It must be settled in our pursuit. It must be settled as the reason for living. It must be settled as the profession to pursue. It must be set as a profession to attain. It must be settled. Our heart must settle with it. That this is one thing that must be done. This one thing in my life that must be done. The hope of your calling, God, the invisible God, must be made visible. The reason why Jesus came is to make God visible. Yes, the invisible God, the mystery that is kept before the world began, may be made known to me. The fellowship, the interaction, oh God, the interaction may be made known, may be revealed in me, that my heart may admit and accept the reality in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the terms of the reality must be accepted by me. I pray today in the name of Jesus Christ, that I be saved from every hope, every false hope, every lie, every hope that look like it, that is not really it. Yes, every false hope, every false assumption, every false pursuit that is not allowing my strength, my life, oh God, to be refreshed, to be re-empowered, to be reinvigorated, to pursue God. I pray this afternoon, Lord, that your hope will take them away. Let your hope take them away. Rid me of false hope. Rid me of lies. Rid me of lies. Rid me of deceptions. Rid me of shadows. Rid me of look-alikes. Rid me, oh God. Let me come into reality. Let me come into truth. Let me come into the exactness. Let me come into the accuracy. Let me come into the very promise of God. Let me come into what you have promised, in which you cannot lie, that is attainable in Christ Jesus. Let me come into this, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Makaba shandala bahanama rabalashka. Breteha sabalida mashandalia. Arush kapana. Silabata handaba shandala rabalashka. Breteha siya poni masanda. Marana mashanda. Kelebrehena siya poni rabalashka. Breteha honda siya poni masinda. Zeklehena masiya toli baha. Rabalata, 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 rabala ashkahanda, baratahana, barahana, protahanda bosandalia, barabara, barabara, baraba, barabara, barabasha, barabara, barabasha, ereske peshe, rabalata, siabanata, handaba, rasta pone, siabane antasa, labota, ana, siapane, rata, sisiana. There are things in heaven for me. There are things reserved in heaven, kept there, that faith has to bring. What is kept there is my hope. It's mine. Belongs to me. It's mine. They were kept there for me. Yes, He was kept there for me. Thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we give praise to you. We exalt your name. Thank you. Thank you. We embrace the discipline. We embrace the training. We embrace this discipline. We obey your voice. We obey your instructions. It's as you lead us in this time. It's as you lead us in this season. Yes, we have no understanding of ourselves. It's what you unveil, what you reveal, what you make known, what you make known, what you make known, what you make known. Yes. Thank you. You are the one that quickened. You are my life spirit.
You are the one that quickened. You are light on my path.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.